tie it up in a pan and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week breaking those myths that mompreneurs just dabble in business in between, you know, bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart business women who are finding that balance and building those bridges between raising a family and building our businesses. And I love the journey that I have been on through social media and everything that has led to this show and the remarkable women that I have the opportunity to share. And I'm very excited to be sharing Jennifer Bronsnick today, who I've had the pleasure of meeting, hear speak, and everything else. And I just want to give you a little background on her. I'm looking both at the program that she was part of and also what I have here, and I'm going to make a combination of the both. You know, Jennifer may seem like your average therapist because she earned a BA in psychology and a master's in social work and has over 10 years experience in working with schools and hospitals, but she's also trained in more spiritual arts of helping others with holistic health and life coaching and human design and Reiki and emotional freedom technique and tapping and mindfulness meditation. And she uses this integrated approach to work with you and your clients. And she's just not that typical psychotherapist. And, you know, her toolbox is so huge. And she really is working with clients to help uncover their unique energy blueprint and teaching you how to live and make decisions that are in full alignment with your authentic self. And it really is her intention to support families to raise their level of spiritual consciousness and daily suffering and find the joy in being alive. And I'm so excited to have her here today because, you know, for those of you who know me and tune into the show, you know that my goal in life at this point is just being better than I was the day before. And I think that that is part of that joy. So, Jennifer, without more further ado, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Dori. It's great to be here and to hear your voice again. It was so wonderful meeting you in person at ETTM, and I'm just grateful to have this opportunity.
Well, you know, I've given a little background, but I really want to hear your journey from you, you know, so you can tell us more about who you are and why you are.
You know? Sure. Well, I think it starts, it's a long journey. You know, we all have our stories that we take with us. Mine started, I was 2 and I had a seizure disorder. And so throughout my life, I was always on medication and always had this, you know, this little anxiety, this little fear of, you know, what if I have a seizure? What will happen to me? And that sort of, that progressed throughout and sort of anxiety just sort of showing up over and over again, you know, manifesting either in, you know, hypochondria, like thinking I had every disease known to man, and then, you know, maybe even using, you know, alcohol too much to sort of cope, you know, to be able to go out into the world and to not experience that anxiety, to avoid that. And it came to a where about 10 years ago, I had these horrible panic attacks. And even though I went to NYU, I had all this clinical training and I knew all the textbook answers, I didn't want to take medication, but I had hit rock bottom for me. I couldn't live life like that anymore. I was, you know, almost becoming a shut-in, which was, you know, horrible to me and horrible for my marriage and for my work. And so a light bulb switched off and I just, you know, something came up about mindfulness. I'd actually had a boyfriend in grad school who used to meditate. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And like, it wasn't my time yet. But I had been exposed to it, and it just, it stuck with me. And so I revisited it, and I got certified in mindfulness psychotherapy, and then became a health coach and understood not only how our mind is connected, but how our body and the foods that we eat are also interconnected with how we feel mentally. And so it just, you know, it led me in this path of, you know, opening doors to human design, which is one of the coolest things I've ever come across in my life, where it's just understanding our own energy blueprint and how we're all just built and born to be so different, and how beautiful that is. And through all of that learning and that practicing and that experimentation, I really was able to cure myself of anxiety and suffering without taking a pill. And I was, you know, I'm really proud of myself for that.
As well you should be.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing the things that happen to us internally. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about my cousin, whose mom died when she was 43. We woke up one day and she was dead. Never been sick a day in her life. Her death certificate actually says heart failure because she just died. Now, my cousin, her 43rd year, her son was as old as she was when her mom died. She was sick that entire year, in and out of the Mayo Clinic, in and out of, I mean, it was unbelievable, everything that she was going through. And I kept telling her, you know what? When you wake up on your 44th birthday, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You right now are so caught up. And she was like, you know, oh, no, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. And you know what? She woke up on her 44th birthday, and she's 53 now. 53, because I'm 54. Yeah, and she's fine. She was, but the mind, what your mind can do.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Is amazing.
So powerful.
It really, truly is. And, you know, for your personal journey, pulled yourself out, but how do you share that with people when they are in that vortex where it is their own thoughts that are actually making them ill?
Yeah. The first step in anything, in any relationship, is to build that relationship. You know, you need to be invited to share your wisdom. You know, that is my belief with most, you know, in most areas. You know, people, generally, if you get up on your soapbox and you're saying, oh, well, you should do this, and I know the right way, people are scared of that, and they sort of resist that. So it's the first step is always, and this is as a therapist, but even as a parent, as a mom, you know, it's always to build that relationship, that self-relationship, but also the relationship with the other, so that they're open to hearing what you have think in your mind and what you, the information that you could share with them. And that first step is really an awareness and a person to say, hey, I want to be better. You know, can you tell me how that, you know, how I might do that, or steps that I could, you know, how I could help with this? So,
you know, when you look at everything that is going on and the changes that are continually happening in this world, you know, because you'd work with families, what are the challenges that you are finding parents facing today? And how does it impact their families and their children?
Well, I think it depends. It's different at every stage, right? So when our kids are little, you know, that saying of little people, little problems. So when our kids are little, it's sort of, you know, it's getting to know them. You know, our children are born to us, but we don't really know who they are. We don't know, you know, their personality or how their personality is going to interact with ours. So really a lot of those years is just getting to know, who is this human being that has now been placed in my care? And what are these behaviors? What is this child communicating with me? You know, what are the needs that, you know, they're not getting met? You know, and when we're little, you know, we have big emotions and we have no problem sharing them. Just the other day, my daughter, she has a lot of open energy, so she's taking in a lot of energy from other people. And when she comes home from school, she just, like, almost needs to scream. It's like she needs to, like, get out, you know, all of that stuff, that pressure, that energy from the day. So it's so important for me to, you know, understand her and, you know, look at her from an individual perspective, you know, where my other daughter is very different. So it's really just, you know, learning to parent based on what are the individual needs of these little people. Because oftentimes they don't have the words to communicate what's really happening inside of them. You know, they have behaviors and actions. My daughter couldn't say, "Mom, I've taken in all this energy from the day and I'm feeling overwhelmed." You know, she just had to, like, literally scream for, like, 30 seconds. And, you know, thank goodness I've done a lot of my own, you know, inner work that I was able to hold that space for her. That's, I think, an enormous gift that a parent can do is to do their own inner work so that when their children are, you know, especially little ones, are kind of losing it, that you can hold that space and remain in that calm, present, loving, accepting so that they can learn. You know, I can have these big emotions and mom and dad or, you know, my parents are still going to be there for me. Now, as kids get older, other things come into play. Our world gets bigger. And as parents, we now have to become teachers and friends and television and the internet and all these other things that, you know, are the child's bubble is getting a lot bigger, and they're going to take in information, and that sort of forms who they are. You know, I like the analogy of, do you know those, like, Russian dolls, Dory?
Mm-hmm.
You know those, okay. So
exactly
the way that the way that I, you know, sort of envision our developmental process is sort of like that. Like, when we're born, we're this little, you know, this tiny, you know, this little baby Russian doll of perfect of love, compassion. We're just, you know, this sort of, like, being. And over time, through experiences, through relationships, through our parents, through, you know, all kinds of interactions that happen in the human life, we put all these shells and all these conditioning, and that sort of, it sort of somewhat hides who we are in our core. So it's really, you know, I think, and why I'm saying this is I want parents to, you know, when their kids are acting out or doing things that are driving you crazy, because they will do, is just remember that in that core, they're pure love. You know, that other stuff is ego. It's, you know, it's not their true nature. And I think that can help to, you know, build compassion, especially during the teenage years when, you know, kids can be really, really challenging. And I do a lot of work with teen girls and their moms and working in that relationship.
Having survived that relationship, I raised my glass of tea. Because that's an amazing, you know, it's funny because, you know, for me, my mom, I was the only girl with three boys, brothers. My mom was my best friend my entire life. I don't, and she's not here for me to ask, so, but I don't ever remember going through that teenage, you know, I was doing theater professionally. My mom was always there. She was my biggest fan. She was my worst critic. You know, she was everything. And my daughter, you know, I have two older sons and then my daughter, and I will just never forget. You know, she was 14. She was an athlete. So, you know, of course, matured a little later, being an athlete, although ridiculously tall. And, you know, the hormone fairy hit, and I gave her a kiss goodnight one night. And the next morning she came down the stairs, and I looked at her. I was like, "Oh, your hair looks so pretty today." And she went, "Why? Because it didn't look good yesterday?" And it was just like, oh, my. I just kept sipping my tea and, you know, went through the next 4 years of what the heck happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just kept living with the thought that she's responsible for her actions and I'm responsible for my reactions. So I would try not to react. You know, I just wasn't buying a ticket to the dance. But in her eyes, you know, I used to say to her all the time, you know, I should tape the conversation because I'm saying this. And meanwhile, she's hearing, wah, 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 you know what I
mean? Right. Yeah.
But you know what? Now she's 22. She's living in California. And every conversation is a joy. So, like I said, to you mommies out there who have a teenage, who are going through the teenage daughter years, my tea is in the air to you. You'll survive it, you know, but it isn't easy. It really isn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of brain development happening, both within the toddler years and the teen years. And the way that I sort of see it is that, you know, sometimes they just get emotionally hijacked, that their, you know, their thinking brain isn't really fully developed yet. So they just have a lot of emotion and a lot of growth happening and not really sure. You know, they, you know, oftentimes feel quite powerless having to go, especially if they're in, you know, a typical school system, not, you know, homeschooled. You know, they have a lot of expectations and they have to be somewhere. They have to get up early. And they're sleep deprived. And when we're sleep deprived, we have a lot of problems that can creep up that maybe look like we're depressed or anxious or maybe possibly have ADD. So it's really, you know, I love that in our area right now, they're really revisiting making the time of high school later. And I think that that is a fantastic idea because kids need sleep and they're not getting it. You know, and as part of it is the school, but part of it is they're up and they're on the phone and the friends are they have the FOMO, the fear of missing out. So it's it's challenging as a parent.
You know,
and it's, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No. I was going to say, I just think that, you know, I mean, my kids are 26, 25 and 22. So MySpace was just happening when my oldest was 17, and the only other, you know, the computers were in my office. So if my kids were online, they were in my office, and he was putting up a MySpace profile. I was like, take that down right now. And he was like, well, it's a great way to make friends. I was like, you want to make friends, you can make them at church, you can make them on the ball field, you can make them down in the park, you know, you make them at school. You don't need to go online to make friends. I think today's parents are facing challenges that, I mean, we've done shows on internet safety, on the psychological ramifications of kids, teenagers, young teens being on, you know, social media, and the fact that they don't realize that that's not real. That, yes, it's real. You are really making connections with people, but it still isn't real, you know.
Yeah.
And their minds don't, you know, and I think that parenting now, with all of our advancements, our kids are, I think, losing out. I really do.
Yeah, so
you know?
It's a tricky thing. I mean, because there are, you know, gifts that come from the internet, you know, that kids can connect with other kids. You know, maybe someone lives in Israel, and so they can learn about different cultures. And we can share information and stories and, you know, have this feeling of connection. Like, so, I mean, what I see a lot of is, especially with boys, they're shyer. You know, they're not as verbal. They feel uncomfortable, like, sitting and having a conversation. But what they'll do is they'll get online and they'll play video games with other boys, kids, online. But it gives them a sense of I'm connected to something bigger than myself, where if they didn't have that outlet, they might be pretty depressed and feel pretty lonely. So, you know, for me, it's all about finding that right balance. And I would never, and that is very different for every single family. Some families, they're tech families, they're in the computer, and, you know, that's their thing. And, you know, I don't want to say there's anything wrong, but it's just, I think it's always to be mindful of, is this working, you know, and asking that, you know, regularly, is this working for my family? And, you know, and if it's not, you know, what is one small thing that I might do to make it work better? You know, I'm not saying, you know, rip out the, you know, no more computer, no more phone, get rid of all of, you know, all the social media. But it's with a small step that you could do. Maybe it's a timer. You know, maybe at 10 o'clock, electronics go off. And that's just the family value. And that goes for parents, too. Because parents model, parents are on the phone and on Facebook and probably just as much as their kids. So, you know, I will say that if you want your kids to not be on the internet and doing that as much, you really have to look at, you know, what are your behaviors around that, around, you know, phone use especially.
Well, you know, it's funny, when we were driving, you know, once my kids got cell phones, because after a while I had to get them for them because I had three kids in three different sports and I was a chef and a chauffeur. And so, but that was back then when, you know, texts were 10 cents a text. You didn't have unlimited anything. And so they had 200 minutes. And I was like, those are my minutes, guys. You want to call your friends when you get home, pick up the phone and call your friends. I need to know where you are, what you're doing, what, you know, what game I'm going to, what game I'm picking you up from. You know, it was very different. And again, there, and I agree with you, there are so many advantages to the fact that the internet is at our fingertips and the things that kids can learn. And I do think that it is a parent's job to model the behavior, monitor the behaviors, you know, because there, I mean, it is scary. It's not like it was, you know, when, I mean, heck, when I was growing up, you wanted to call somebody, you stood in the middle of the street and you yelled their name until somebody on the next block heard you loud enough. You know, that was our telephone, you know, and you came home when the street lights went on, you know, so it's each generation has different challenges. And do you find as a therapist that, with all of this, that the mindfulness is becoming more and more integral in that parenting aspect, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my experience is yes. I mean, we need to be adaptable. You know, we can't, as parents, we can't say, well, we did it that way, and so that's the right way. We have to be very mindful of, you know, that was right for us, but it's a different time now, and we either need to, you know, you either change and adapt, or, you know, you sort of miss out. You know, and I think if you can teach your children about how to be in the present moment, because a lot of what we do online, it takes us away from the present. You know, it's taking our attention. We're pulled into, you know, all these different, you know, ideas. We're reading blogs. You know, we're not really focused on, like, wow, that tree is really beautiful. Like noticing nature, noticing our breath. And when we can, you know, come back into the body, not in our, you know, on our monkey mind, it can be very healing, you know, and that's ultimately what we want, is we want to raise children that have good coping skills, because the children that have good coping skills are able to navigate ups and downs, and they will be less likely to turn to drugs and alcohol to cope with the stress of life, because life is stressful. We can't, you know, we can't avoid it, and some stress is good, but we're under a lot of stress today. And now, because everything's going so fast because of the internet.
You know, you just sent me to, did you ever see The Family Circus, that cartoon?
No, I don't think so.
It's the cutest little cartoon, and it's a family, and it's, you know, parent, mom, dad, and, you know, their kids, and PJ is the little one, and he's like four. And I will never forget the cartoon. He's sitting under a tree, and you know how it has all the little thought balloons in cartoons?
Oh, yeah.
And his thought balloons were, what if I can't run as fast as my brother? What if I don't do good in kindergarten? What's going to happen if I can't remember my numbers? What's going to happen if I can't cut with scissors? And he's got like 20 little balloons of all these thoughts, and his parents are looking out the window, and their caption is, oh, to be a child and not have a care in the world.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
You know? And it's funny because I saw that, I mean, that cartoon, I probably saw that cartoon 12, 14 years ago, and it always stuck with me, Because we do. We think because they're kids, oh, they don't have a care in the world. And it's not true. You know, kids, again, today, I think, are bombarded because everything, it, you know, we forgot that childhood's a journey. It's not a race.
Yeah.
You know? And so our kids are under this pressure to be the best and, you know, SAT scores and this score and you know, all of these comprehensive testings that they do. And yes, I mean, learning is really important. And believe it or not, you know, I never thought I'd need algebra when I was an adult. I remember that feeling in eighth grade. But, you know, you do need algebra because when you go shopping, algebra is what lets you know if that sale price and that bigger price, what's a better value and stuff like that.
Right.
So, you know, those are the things that actually do get incorporated into your daily life that you don't realize. But as a parent, you know, which I just think is the greatest job in the world. I mean, I love the job of mom. And even though my kids are grown and gone, that phone call, I will drop anything.
Yeah,
because my kids need me to do something. It's not something that you finally go, oh, great, they're all out of the house. I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, if anything, they're all out of the house. You get to worry a little more.
Yeah, my mother-in-law always says you're only as happy as your most unhappy child. So that even if the you know there's one that's doing really great, if there's one that's not doing so well, it's like you love them and you want the best for them, and that's also the biggest challenge of parenting is because when we love something, it causes us to suffer because there's an attachment to wanting good things. You know, that's another really big gift of mindfulness is that you can sort of have somewhat, healthy detachment between what's your journey as a parent and what's your child's journey as an individual. And sometimes kids need to have a challenge. You know, think about a challenge that you've had in your life that you've overcome and what you felt when you were experiencing the challenge and how hard it was and how you just want it to be over. But once it's passed and you've moved on and you've, gotten through that experience, you can look back and be like, wow, like it feels really empowering to know that I got through that. And that's what we want for our kids. You know, we want them to be empowered.
Without a doubt. And on that note, for those of you just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio with Jennifer Bronsnick. And I just want to say thank you to today's sponsors. Our author, Allie, is sponsoring today's show. And This Is How We Grow is one of our books. And what happens when a clinical psychologist, an expert on women's mental health, postpartum depression, grief, and parenting, finds her world turned upside down? After her sister and brother-in-law die, Dr. Christina Hibbert inherits her two nephews, delivers her fourth baby, and goes from 3 to 6 kids pretty much overnight. This Is How We Grow invites readers into Dr. Hibbert's upside-down world as she fights to right-side it up. It's a really deeply personal, true story blended with psychological insights, and This Is How We Grow offers an intimate glimpse into the doctor becoming the patient. As Christina struggles to put her theories and expertise to the test in an effort to grow a new family and grow herself. This Is How We Grow really demonstrates how hard life can be, yet it also illustrates how when we choose to grow, we can and will overcome, become, and eventually flourish. And I have to say, it is an absolutely wonderful book. And our other sponsor is Susan Campbell Cross. She's an author, lifestyle expert, on-air personality, wife, and mompreneur. She's the lifestyle editor of Shape, OK, and Star Magazine, and a contributor to the Daily Muse. And her articles have appeared on HuffPost Women, Forbes Women, and Yahoo Shine. Her blog, Secrets of a Suburban Soccer Mom, has led her to becoming a regular correspondent for Let's Talk Autism, Modern Media, the radio show, and frequent TV segments for San Diego Living and Daytime. And she's acted in campaigns for Mr. Coffee, DirecTV, and more, and has appeared in a bunch of different cooking segments with Bobby Flay. And she's written a fabulous book called The Fab You List. List it, live it, love it, love your life. And it's available on Amazon. And it's really fun. It was a list of the things she wanted to do, 40 things that she wanted to accomplish before turning 40. And as her 40th birthday was approaching, she went through this list and did them all. And it was so funny as I'm reading, I was reading the book and I'm looking at her list and I was like, oops, done it, done it, done it. I was like, wow, man, Dory, you're a wild child. You know, so it was so fun to just identify with, you know, so many of the things that she had wanted to do. And now there's a couple of things that I got to add to my list because of what was on hers, going, oh, that would be fun. You know, so I really thank our sponsors and all of the women in our Mompreneur Marketplace that sponsor our shows here on Word of Mom Radio. And one of our sponsors I'm actually sipping, you met her at the ETTM conference, Kathleen Ettinger from Teascapes. I'm actually sipping a cup of her tea, because she's one of our sponsors also. So I'm always sipping her tea as I do one of our shows. So just a quick shout out to Kathleen.
It's delicious. For sure.
Oh, I'm drinking Spring Break. And what I love about that tea is that when it's hot, it's one flavor. As it's warm, it's another. And when it cools off, you just get to taste all of the different flavors depending on the temperature. It constantly changes. Yeah.
That's a great mindfulness exercise there, drinking tea mindfully and, you know, just noticing the flavors, you know, noticing how it changes and shifts and, you know, it keeps life interesting.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And for those of you just tuning in, we're back here live with Jennifer Bronsnick. So how does mindfulness help people in their lives? You know, how do you find incorporating that really makes a difference for people?
Okay. So, and I think just from my own personal experience, so what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is being aware of the present moment without judgment. And then along with that is a underlying feeling of compassion. So when we are present, when we are in the now, we are not anxious or depressed. Because if we're depressed, we're in the future. We're looking at our life and saying, well, we could have done this or this happened or why me? We go into this sort of, you know, either blame or I'm a victim space. When we're anxious, we're looking into the future. What's going to happen? What if I have a seizure? You know, what if I, you know, don't do well or this person doesn't like me? But when we're just in the moment, it's such a blessing because it's just right now and everything, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm in my attic, and I can look out the window and I see these beautiful trees and, you know, it's right now and there's no anxiety, there's no depression, you know, and the most important piece to this is a feeling of compassion and non-judgment. So you're compassionate with yourself. You're not, if you start to feel anxious, there's no, I'm a bad person, I shouldn't feel this way. It's just, I'm a human, I'm flawed just like every other human, and I can have compassion for others and I can have compassion for myself. Does that help? Does that make sense, Dory?
I am actually just writing down what you said because I actually love what you just said, especially being aware of the moment without judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you know, it's finding that balance. You know, we have to, you know, plan for things sometimes, especially as moms and as mompreneurs. You know, we want to, you know, I prefer set an intention, you know, because I think a goal, it sets you up to either be a winner or a failure. You know, where if we have an intention, it's, you know what, it'd be really cool if I could have this life experience. You know, it's not about, you know, winning. It's not about financial gain. It's not about being the best. It's about, you know, am I really living my life, you know, to the fullest extent, which I think is, you know, that also can help with that pressure mindset that we're often under. You know, you mentioned teenagers and, you know, all the things, school and, you know, all the pressures they have. When we can sort of say, you know what, like, the most important thing is having a life where you feel passion, you feel fulfilled, and you feel like you're thriving. You know, what can be more important than that? Did I lose you there, Dory? Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry, I got bounced out. I hope you kept on talking.
Oh.
I'm like, oh my gosh, please keep talking.
I was like, did I lose you, Dory? I don't know if I...
Yes, you did, because, you know, technology works great when it works.
I hear you, yeah. No, it's no problem. There was only about 1 minute of, you know, of me saying, hey, hello, hello.
Oh, no. Oh, for those of you, sorry about that, guys. You know? And there you go.
Yeah.
There's living in the moment.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know what? That,
and not
it,
sweating
it actually,
what you can't change.
Yeah, so it brings up a really good point, is that being mindful, it's not about living this Zen life and having, you know, no challenges and everything is, you know, this peaceful bubble. It's about living in chaos. It's about living with the noise and the, you know, kids fighting and the, you know, traffic and all of that. But inside, at the core, you know, inside that Russian, you know, that Russian doll, is that peace, you know, and that's always available to you. You know, I think that's another gift of, you know, mindfulness. And there's lots of ways to bring mindfulness into your life. You don't have to sit and meditate for hours and hours on end. You know, it is helpful to have some sort of quieting practice, but I think a lot of the benefits can come from just that mindful attitude and that, you know, I'm just going to be aware of the present moment without judgment in every moment. You know, that could be whether you're eating or taking a shower, or taking a walk, just really, really experience your life, good and bad, you know, without sort of seeking for pleasure and avoiding pain. You know, that's a big key there.
Huh. You know, again, it has been my mission to just be better than I was the day before for quite a while now. And some days I really succeed. Some days I'm pretty much status quo. But, you know, I am so trying to just be present where I am right now. And I think that it really makes a difference in things that are going on. And, you know, when I was introducing you, we were I mentioned about human design.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really love for you, because I think people don't really have an understanding of what that is. And I would love for you to share that. I just want to shift that a little bit
and
have you share that, because I know that's part of the mindfulness.
It is, and it really, what it comes down to, what the gift to me of human design was that it really allowed me to accept my full self, you know, to be able to see, okay, these are, you know, my challenges, these are my strengths, and you know what? I am still a beautiful piece of the puzzle of humanity, and just like you are and all of our listeners are. We are all designed and born for very, very special reasons. And I think if you can look at the world through this viewpoint, it can be very powerful. You know, rather than coming from a place of either self-judgment or other judgment, it's really, you know, wow, like this person has these challenges, this person has these gifts, you know, just like everybody else. And so what human design is, it's based in Eastern and Western astrology, the I Ching, the Hindu chakra system, Kabbalah, and quantum physics. And based on someone's birth information, so that's birth, day, time, and place because of the time zone, we can have a chart where, you know, I've been, you know, trained to sort of analyze the chart and look to be able to see, okay, where is this person's unique gifts? And where are some ways that they might have been conditioned in their life? So, for example, half of our world has something called an open emotional center, meaning half of the people in our world are empaths, and they can feel other people's emotions. And the other half has a defined emotion, so they have their own wave. So that wave could be, you know, extreme highs and extreme lows, which could, you know, possibly look like depression. However, the gift of that wave is that when we go down in our wave, it's really a great place to be creative. I mean, think about the artists in the world. Think about Van Gogh. Think about musicians. You know, it's oftentimes where they're most creative is when they're sort of in that down place. And then when they can come out of that again, they can share this beautiful expression with the world. So there's a lot of beauty there. But, you know, we often get into this place of, you know, especially trained as a therapist, we're trained to kind of, you know, assess and say and label. And in human design, there's not that. You know, it's just there's lots of different ways to experience life. And, you know, our sort of the purpose is to live out the highest expression of ourselves. And that's what's, you know, and human design, I will have to say, it's sort of tricky because it's so individual. You know, it's very hard to talk generally because everybody has a different design. You know, and everybody's been around other designs that have conditioned them in other ways. So similar, going back to that analogy of the Russian doll, that, you know, part of the things covering the core is the people that we've grown up with. So, you know, someone that has this, they're an empath, they might think they're really emotional because maybe they've been around an emotional person. So once they, you know, I've done tons of readings, and when I tell someone this, they're like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Like, I can understand myself. And I can trust myself. I can trust my decisions better with this information. And I love bringing it to families, to couples, to parents, to their children. It's really powerful, and it's really fun. It's fun information to have. And you had your chart done, Dori, so you can. You know,
it's really funny, and it was I had it, and I was so excited to pull it out to actually ask you some questions about it, and
yeah.
Of course. Can't find it. And
oh,
you have to see
gracious.
My office. I've got stuff everywhere looking, and I have every single thing from the conference because I'm usually very, very organized.
Yeah.
And have everything all together, and I know as soon as this conversation ends, I'm going to go put it all away, and it's going to be sitting right on the top of something going,
Well, you know, so the trusting that, you know, everything happens for a reason and that there's a reason for not having your chart right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's a couple different energy types. And from what I remember, I think you're a manifesting generator.
Yeah.
So there are about 70% of the population, they're some type of generator, meaning here to do work, have the energy for work. And by work, it could be anything. And that could be mothering. That could be being a parent. It doesn't mean, you know, working for a corporation or something. It's just, you know, and it's consistent energy. And then there's about 30% that don't have that consistent energy. They can work, but they just need to work differently. So, you know, what I love about this is that, you know, when I found out the information, and I'm a projector, which is one of the types, and I don't have the energy for consistent work. I can work very hard for short periods of time, but then I need to take rest. And understanding that, I had a lot of self-judgment about, like, am I lazy? Like, what's wrong with me? And once I was given this information, it was like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm meant to be lazy. Like, I'm actually restoring my energy so that my life force can go on for many, many, many years. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's about being authentic. It's about being able to leverage your energy so that you don't have a physical or emotional breakdown, you know, around 40, 45 is typically when the, you know, non-energy people kind of have a burnout. So just, you know, just the more you can learn and understand yourself, from my perspective, the better you're off you will be. You know, will be able to make those right decisions.
I have to ask, though, what is a manifesting generator? Because you gave me my chart right as we were leaving, and you told me to watch for signs. That was one of the things you told me, just
so
watch for signs.
The manifesting generator, they are here to work, but they are also moving a lot faster than the other generator types. So they're sort of designed to move forward, make a mistake, have to go back and fix it. So this can be really challenging because you might think, like, oh, my gosh, I'm always making mistakes, something wrong with me. But really the truth of the matter is no, you're moving quickly and that's how you roll. You know, that's how you learn. And if you can release any self-judgment around I'm a bad person, I'm not good enough, and you can just sort of accept, okay, this is how I learn. This is how I know that something is correct, is I sometimes have to go back and fix it. And the other piece to that is that since you're moving faster than other people, it's really important for close relationships for you to inform those around you. Inform them when you've made a decision so that it can sort of lessen that impact. So they don't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just kind of getting run over, and Dory's doing this, that, and the other thing, but not really feeling that they're, part of it. So those are the two pieces. I think that the trickiest thing with human design is that, or one of the tricky pieces, is that there's really only one type called the manifestor that's here to initiate, meaning here to have an idea in their mind and then just go and do it. The rest of us has to wait in some way to get that inner intuition of, is this right? And for generators, it's going to be sort of this feeling, should I go in this direction? Should I go in that direction? So there's a little bit of waiting. And in our culture, we don't like to wait. And I think this is where the mindfulness sort of can connect to that, is that being mindful and slowing down can sort of support the waiting process that, can show up when we're really trying to follow, our human design strategy. And I can tell you that when you start to follow your strategy, and they're different for each type, I'll tell everybody how you can get your chart, how you can learn more, all of that good stuff, life just gets easier. There's no more pushing. It's just sort of things begin to show up for you that are correct for you. And it's been just life-changing for myself, for my relationship with my husband, and understanding my clients better. I mean, there's nothing that's been as life-changing as understanding, my energy. So I'm grateful that I've had the opportunity to learn about it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I was just saying, and to teach others as well, teach others about, who they are and, life purpose and all that stuff.
I find it very interesting because in listening to what that manifesting generator is, I mean, that my whole life, I was always 10 steps ahead of, and then everybody be like, wait a minute, what just happened? It's like, well, this, and this. And I just always assumed that everybody knew.
It's interesting. That's how you are, but there's nothing wrong, with the other type. There's nothing wrong with being a manifest generator. We are all just different, and parents have different types than their children, so it's, in my work, it's a lot of helping to understand one another, to communicate better, to have more compassion for one another. And when that happens, family life just gets better.
How do people get their chart?
They can set, I have on my website, which is themindfulfamily.com. They can go on and there's a little assessment where they just send me their email with their name, birthday, time, and place. And if someone doesn't know their time, what I often do is I'll run it a couple times during the day. Sometimes it doesn't change very much. Other times it does. And then we go sort of in a little digging exposition to see what, was it a.m., p.m., does this sound true for you? So really just, trying to figure out, what type someone is. So, but it can be done. And there's also, I think you could use like a Vedic astrologer and they can sometimes tell you, or even muscle testing can also work.
So once you get that chart, what, how do you absorb it? How do you, take what is there?
I recommend having a reading, a full reading to really understand the breadth of it. You can do a lot of your own research. I'm in the middle of a little rebrand right now. And on my website, there will be tapes and information about each of the different types and the different energy centers. But it's so, so beneficial to invest in just a one-on-one reading. And whether that's with myself or another human design specialist, it can be, really, really powerful to do that.
Okay, and what happens for those parents and those people that don't have the money to do that one-on-one work?
Yeah, so there's a lot of resources out there. There's a book by Karen Curry that's called Human Design for Everyone. $20, I think. Actually, it was like 99 cents on Amazon the other day. All the information you need to know about human design, you know, from a very, you know, a basic level is there. And, you know, you could also, I hate this to use the term Google, but you could Google human design and there's a lot of, you know, stuff that's going to pop up for you to see that. I also have a free webinar coming up, which is it's a parenting webinar, but we will talk about human design in that program. We're going to talk about the different types. So that will, you know, that's another way that parents can have access to, you know, the information without, you know, feeling like they have to make a huge investment.
When is your webinar?
It is December 11th. December 11th at 12 o'clock, it will be recorded, and you can, you know, register for that on themindfulfamily.com, or you can send me an email at jennifer@themindfulfamily, and I can register you. And you'll get charts for everybody in your family, and then once we have the call, you'll be able to, you know, learn more about the human design information as well as some of the mistaken motivations that children's behavior has. So really looking beneath the misbehavior to see what's the need that's not getting met and how can we meet that need so that we don't have to see this misbehavior anymore and our life can, you know, our family can get better.
Wow. I love what you are doing. I really, really do, Jennifer.
Oh, thanks, Dori. I do too.
Oh, you know, and you have, I mean, you know, for somebody, for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to meet Jennifer in person, your energy is so loving. You just have such a kind, warm, caring energy about you that is very approachable and very real, and, you know, I can just see the people that work with you benefiting so much from the time that they get to spend with you and what they will learn from you. And, you know, as you're working with parents, I mean, how do we, you know, I mean, we keep going around with our kids and things like that and, you know, the resiliency of kids, because let's face it, they can handle, I think children handle so much more than we do as parents and bounce back in ways that we can't even imagine, you know, and how do you help foster that in your kids?
I mean, so many different ways. I mean, first of all, it's, you know, accepting them. You know, I think as parents, we, you know, we have these little humans born into our, you know, come into our arms, and so we have these, you know, grand ideas for what we want for them. So it's, when those things don't happen, accepting the humans that they are and accepting their journey. And when we can do that, we allow them to accept who they are. And that's really what it's at its core, is that when you have a child who loves themselves, can accept themselves even if they're not perfect, knows how to make decisions for themselves so that they can trust their intuition and trust their gut, and knows how to find the right people to help them to grow and to succeed and to, you know, who's going to love them for who they are. I mean, those are, you know, the core, you know, my parenting goals, you know, is to raise children that are like that. Even though it's hard, there are moments, you know, when I'm, you know, not being mindful and, you know, I want them to be a certain way or I don't like a certain friend or whatever it is. But you know what, like different energies in me, and maybe they see something different in this person that I can't. So it's allowing, you know, and sort of trusting that, you know, we are not in charge. We are not God. You know, that is a lot of pressure to put on us, ourselves. And, you know, kind of trusting the plan a little bit. But there's no easy answer, and there's no perfect parent. And to be a perfect parent would honestly be a disservice to your child, because then they would feel like they had to be perfect. And, you know, that's that's damaging in itself. So just do your best, you know, that's the bottom line. You know, I had this idea the other day of, like, you know, outsourcing. You know, I'm not fun all the time, you know, like the, you know, little art games and things like that, but I've got mommy friends that are really fun. So we have play dates with them, you know, so my kids get exposed to other types of personalities. You know, I like to be, you know, the warm and caring and, you know, if you're sick, I'll take care of you, kind of mommy. So, you know, I try to, you know, find other people in our family or our friend circle that we can sort of, you know, bring in these other dynamics that I don't have. And you don't have to have everything either.
I agree. And, you know, again, flipping me back to my mommy groups and the things that I used to do when my kids were little, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom. And even, I got divorced, my kids were very little. They were 6, 4, and 2. And
wow.
I still stayed at home. I worked when they were with their dad. And if I could do it all over again, I mean, the one thing I would change is getting divorced. It's like the biggest regret I have, that we couldn't make things work. But fortunately for us, we never involved our kids in that. They never had to choose or anything like that. But I would do it all over again just because it was my favorite time. I put up a Throwback Thursday picture today on Facebook, and it's my kids 20 years ago. My daughter was 2. My sons were 6 and 5 in this picture. And it really was my favorite time, was that young time in their life where we could just enjoy everything, you know. And I was a very structured parent in the sense that, you know, I tried to really follow a routine. Since they didn't go to preschool and things like that, you know, or daycare, we had art time, we had outside time, because kids love consistency. They thrive on that. To me, if you give them definitive boundaries, then they're free, as long as their boundaries are their boundaries, you know.
Yeah.
And it's their job to negotiate the boundaries. But, you know, ultimately, it's your job as a parent to hold them. And you know, I just, it is such an amazing time. And for all of you mommies out there, you know, love it. Just live it and love it, and you know, tune into our Wednesday shows that rotate. Yesterday, Kaz did a show on you know, holiday traditions, and you know, we have the Sneaky Mom and Productive Play for, you know, little kids on Wednesdays, on the third Wednesdays of the month. And you know, we're doing so much to just share what we've learned as women, as entrepreneurs, mompreneurs, moms. And I thank you so much. I can't believe our hour is closing over here.
I know,
it's amazing how fast it goes. Just a quick promo for Tuesday's show. The Managing Mompreneur Mayhem, Sina Block, is sharing spiritual practices for the mom entrepreneur, and she has Laura Clark from Soul Wise Living and Jennifer Urizio from No Souls Language are her guests. And I love that, you know, this show here and now the shows coming up are kind of bringing us into that, you know, especially with the holidays coming up and everything in the hustle and bustle. It's really important to take that moment to center yourself and to move forward in a positive way. So, Jennifer, thank you so much. Again, you can reach Jennifer. Go to her website. Go to themindfulfamily.com. You can find her on Twitter at Mindful Mommy, and please connect with her. Register for her webinar. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to come and share with me today, Jennifer. I really have enjoyed having you here.
Oh, thank you so much, Dory. I really, really, I appreciate it. I love talking to you. You make it very easy.
Oh, thank you so much, and as do you. And I am going to find my chart, and then I'm going to email you.
Okay, fantastic.
You know, I know, because I would really love to, you know, just kind of look at it. But, you know, even just the little bitty things that you told me, and it's funny because I've been watching for the signs, and the signs are all there, and I just feel all that great energy. And I thank you for pointing me in that direction, you know.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. So, again, reach out to Jennifer. Tune in if you missed us live. Our archives are here, so you know you can hear it at any time. And I just thank you so much for tuning in to the show. So we're going to close out for now. And for all of you tuning in, thank you so much for being here, and go out and create a marvelous you. So bye for now.